Yo.
What up, what up?
Ooh, I almost forgot what the intro was, man. I was like, what's my line again?
That's funny. It's funny you say that, man. You know, I was in New York last week, and there was somebody I was telling a family member of mine about the podcast and stuff, and then my brother was just like, yo, man, I got the intro. Like, what's the intro? And he kind of says it, but he says it kind of fucked up. And then I go, how the fuck does that shit go? And here I am telling my cousin, like, oh, yeah, we got 180 episodes. And I'm just like, why am I drawing a blank on the fucking intro?
Dude, I've had people who, like, remind me of something I said, you know, like 60 something episodes ago or thing, and I'm like, I said that, and like, I'm like, bro, I say so much shit on that. But you gotta understand, I've been drinking, I just say stuff.
Yep.
Did you mean it? I probably did at the time.
I reserve the right to change my mind. That's right. Welcome back, everybody. See if I get this right. To the Carbon Footprint Podcast. He is Juan and I'm Sean, and every week we get together, have a few drinks, talk about things going on in the world, try to focus on things making an impact, whether they be good, bad, or otherwise. Hit him with the drink of the day.
Yeah, I know I say this all the time. <That's> delicious. And honestly, I'm just buying myself time right now. I'm just going to talk so I can remember the name. But strawberry basil smash, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No, this shit is amazing. Like, so much so that I've never planned on getting drunk for the pod. But you gave me one of these and I was like, oh, I'm getting fucked up. I was like, oh, yeah, this is gonna be good.
This one, and so, man, good. So when I came with this today, you know this already. But for those of you out there, I saw a drink similar ingredients online. And so I stole it and then did a couple extra things to it to make it our own. But coming in here with the ingredients and going, man, I hope this shit works. And it did.
It did, man. It's amazing, man. So this one, in a shaker, do about half an ounce of simple syrup, 2 strawberries, 3 to 4 basil leaves, muddle that, add the ice, add gin, which it can't be any gin, strawberry gin. This week we did a Puerto de Indias strawberry gin. Never had it. It's phenomenal.
No, it's good.
Really good, man. And I know you were looking for the Snoop Dogg.
Yes, the indigo.
The indigo, yep. Which is strawberry, which I didn't realize it was strawberry. But yeah, this was, dude, I think the other thing that caught me off guard on this is it's a gin from Spain, which is interesting. I've never had.
I guess from Seville, because it says something Sevillian. About Seville down there.
Yep. Yeah, man, it's awesome. I've never had a gin from Spain, so really good. So you add the gin, shake that up, pour it in a rocks glass filled with ice, top off with a little bit of ginger beer, half an ounce of lemon juice. Oh, yeah, half ounce lemon juice. And then I almost fucked that up. I'm like, what? No, half a lemon. Yeah, half an ounce of lemon juice. I told you I've had a lot of these. And then garnish with a basil leaf, man. This thing is, oh.
You hit it with the ginger beer? Did you say ginger beer already?
Yeah, I said top off. See? Yo, how many have you had, sir?
Go to the Instagram. We'll put it on there.
We'll put it up.
It seems a little complex. But, you know, unless you live in Spanish Harlem, you should be able to get the ingredients.
I'm saying if you can roll a joint, you can make one of these. You ever seen people roll a joint who are good at that shit?
Oh, they're fucking.
Oh, yeah. My God, bro. You're like, wait, what? They're just like the quickness and the speed. That my shit, you falling apart. You know, yep. Back then, I would assume. I'm just taking a guess here. I don't know.
I don't know the recipe. So, like I said earlier, man, you know, I was in New York last week. I spent some time in Harlem with the family. And because my aunt passed, and so we were together with probably about 5 or 6 people. It was late, and I wanted to make the tequila old fashioned.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make it like we made it on the other episode, the Siempre. Yeah. Right? Okay.
It was amazing. Yeah, yeah.
So I go to the liquor store. So I'm in Harlem, right? East Harlem. Go to the liquor store. They got a shit ton of tequila. They don't have that.
They don't have the
this Siempre, right? So I think I just
don't have a Total Wine in Harlem.
No. Tell you what else they don't got. So I'm just like, all right, fuck it, man. I'm gonna go with
gentrification.
Bro. So I grab a bottle of Teremana.
Oh, and
right. So I'm like that usually goes well. Fuck it. Oh. Right. And I think I get the the reposado.
Okay, yeah, yeah, because you're gonna do the old fashioned.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So get that, and then so in the liquor store, I'm going, yo, you got such a ass the guy behind the fucking bulletproof glass. I got to set the fucking scene for you, bro.
Like you're at a bank.
You know what I'm
shit.
Talking about, too, of course. Right? Bro, like the whole fucking place, you walk into the liquor stores, man, and it's like bulletproof glass. You can't grab any liquor. Like everything's behind the bulletproof glass.
Yeah. Dude, and they even in the movie theaters over there, I go, what are you stealing from a movie
theater? Dude, and even to exchange the money and to get your liquor is the fucking box that spins. So you know what I'm talking about?
The banker's box.
Yes, yep. It's kind of like that, right? So anyway, so I tell the guy behind the bulletproof glass, I'm going, yo, do you have bitters? And he goes, he looks at me, he's like, nah, bro. And then my brother's in
nah,
there.
Nah, bro.
My brother's in there. He goes, I told you, you bougie.
Yo, bitters are bougie.
So I told the dude, I'm like, yo, where can I get it? Like,
that's an uptown thing, huh?
And he goes, nowhere around here, bro. He goes, you got to go to Soho.
You got to go to Soho?
I'm like, I have to go to the south end of Manhattan to get fucking bitters, bro? Is that what you're telling me?
He said, go somewhere where we don't have to exchange money this way.
Go to the place where you can pick the bottle of liquor you want off the shelf.
You don't have to ask me. Like you're at the fucking library back in the day. Let me see. I'm going to go to the back. I'll bring it back.
Bro, so,
oh, shit.
So I leave there like defeated going, all right, I'm not doing tequila old fashions, man. What am I going to do? I head over to the...
Kind of crazy because New York has a very vibrant bar scene. So I know they have restaurant supply stores, but you think it's a very common...
Not in East Harlem, bro.
But also, they're probably not serving anything with bitters in there. It's a soda and alcohol, whatever.
Not in East Harlem.
They could use gentrification there is what you're saying. So we might have found a pro for gentrification. It's not all bad, guys.
Bro, so I end up going to the local supermarket, trying to find bitters there. Don't find it. Grab the fucking, I said, fuck it, man. I grabbed a bottle of passion fruit juice. And so it's going to be passion fruit juice,
yeah, not for
with
nothing,
the tequila,
man.
And the lime.
Is there a business opportunity there? He's just like a little, yo. So I've been to places, actually one in particular stands out in Atlanta. All they did was bitters. And it was like almost like a food truck style thing, but it was a stand in a mall and it was like this little cart. So it reminded me of like a food truck, but all the guy did was sell bitters.
Really?
And they were all like homemade.
Just different kind of bitters?
Just different kind of flavored bitters and stuff. I was like, man, maybe that's the move, man, in Harlem. Or New York, clearly, if nowhere near. If you had to go all the way to Soho, you could do something in between. You could do it in the Greenwich Village.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was thinking like probably like a Trader Joe's might have something like that.
You think Trader Joe's sells bitters?
Don't I mean, ooh. Fucking Publix does, bro. Here, so
yeah.
Does that mean Trader Joe's doesn't? I have to go explore.
They don't have Trader Joe's in Harlem.
No.
What do they have? C-Town? What's the big grocery store? That's all bodega still,
great,
right?
That's a great question, man. It used to be Key Food back in the day.
Oh, Key Food, that's right.
But I don't even know if that one is if that's still there.
I'm a C-Town.
The one, yeah, the one that was nearby where I was. I don't even know what the hell the name of it is. Mm. Now, I will say this. On 110th First Avenue, I got to shout out the little bodega there. I'm not even sure what the fucking name of it is, but everybody calls it the Chop Chop. Because they fucking make these steak subs delicious, bro.
Yeah.
But they make them so you can get them with steak or you can get them with, they do hamburger meat. That's what they call them, chop chops. They fucking put hamburger meat. So I go and order one of these things and the guy was like, you want ketchup? And I'm like, I don't want a fucking ketchup on my steak sub. And he goes, oh, you asked for the chop chop. I go, oh, that's what y'all called it. He goes, no. Chop chop is the hamburger meat. He goes, you want steak? And I'm like, yeah, I want steak. He goes, okay. So he got the steak. But the steak sub, like a Philly cheesesteak, fucking phenomenal.
Dude, I miss me a good old like sub from the bodega.
Yep.
Because even in Jersey where I grew up, like you get the guys that, you know, cut up the meat fresh and then do the, oh, so good, man.
Yeah, that shit was delicious.
Subs were amazing, man. That's so good. But fucking get bitters in Harlem. We're going to start a campaign. Bitters in Harlem.
No, man.
And we're not talking about the Puerto Rican chick. We're or trying to make liquor?
Let me tell you, man. I found out last week that I'm real bougie when it comes to the liquor, bougie, bro. Yeah,
you look at, they're like, bro, you can't do Coke like normal person. You can't do rum and Coke like normal people. Or Henny and Coke. That's the thing, right, in Harlem. Henny and Coke. What are people in Harlem drinking these days? What did they have a lot of at said liquor store?
No, they had a lot of shit, bro.
Liquor?
Yeah. They had a lot.
They just don't expect you to mix it with anything?
I don't know.
How y'all make old fashions in Harlem? Oh, what?
Yeah. What's that? You mean drinking shit out of the bottle? That's old fashioned.
Yeah, bro, we sell sugar and some water.
There's Coke across the street.
Yeah. Fuck, dude. That's wild, man. That's crazy. I can't believe you couldn't. I was crying when you sent me when you called me to ask me, like, bro, and you were telling me you wound up doing the passion fruit with the lime. Which is a great drink.
Which hit.
And you probably got the dope passion fruit because you got the Spanish joint, the Goya, of course. The Goya joint slap.
They had a whole display case with like the passion fruit, the mango, they had like six different flavors.
Bro, that cracks me up because they won't have bitters, but they'll be like, but we got sour sap, we got avocado juice.
That's
we got
the other one.
Sour sap.
That's the other one.
And you're like,
that's
but right. You don't have bitters.
But you know what, man? They had some quenepas. That's the kind of shit that I don't find around here.
Quenepas there?
Yeah.
Dude, I can never find. I can find them here, actually, down the street from here, a place called Freshfield Farms. They'll have them when they're seasonal or whatever. They'll have them certain times.
Okay.
It's expensive as shit here. You buy them in a little pack, but it's worth it because, you know, you get that craving because quenepas be hard to find. I used to only get them in Puerto Rico
whenever
I went. I never found them up north. So it's funny, man. So the bodegas sell the quenepa or the...
It was the supermarket.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I love quenepas, bro. Oh, I love me a quenepa, man. Now I want a quenepa. I'm going to go find some.
All right, man. Yeah, what's the carbon footprint? We off track.
We hell off track. This is how long it's been. I don't even know. What's that again? Oh, yeah. I got it. dude, for me this week, and I don't know why. Listen, I'm not into geopolitics, but I'm probably the last person that should be talking about something like this. But Sweden joined NATO this week with Sweden. You know, there's like a running joke between Switzerland and Sweden about the neutrality there and how they sort of mind their business and are neutral, quote unquote. But they officially joined NATO this week, and they applied in 2023. I guess it became official. Dude, that has to mean that there's shit going on that we don't know about, where these countries, they have been neutral since World War II.
Oh, man. So you're talking about almost 100 years.
Yeah.
I mean, not 1945, right? Years, would be right? Yeah, like 80 years. Yep.
80 years. It's still a long time, dude. And, you know, you got to think about what kind of climate and all that causes those types of change, whether this is the stuff going on with Russia and the Ukraine, whether this is our election cycle affecting what they think the future of that region is going to be, because we have an election season coming up, depending on who wins.
And Trump is like the front runner right now, like at least from the Republican side, right? So
no, I think it's official now.
Last
person dropped, right? Nikki Haley dropped.
Yes, he dropped.
He's going to be the nominee.
Correct, and it's definitely, he has a good chance of winning.
Yeah.
So he has a good chance of winning.
So it'll be Trump, Biden, and then an independent if RFK doesn't drop out or get killed by then. Yeah, so there'll be... He's a Kennedy, bro.
That's funny,
I'm not threatening
not,
you, Bobby,
bro.
But I'm no, just saying, yeah, y'all got some shitty luck, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
He should probably stay out of politics.
Before he hits a tree skiing. Wink, wink. Dude, is anyone more cursed than that family? Which... Listen, I have to say curse with a grain of salt because
they're well off.
Well off, but also you could argue that was their karma. The Kennedys weren't exactly the like saints per se. Okay. You know, like I think they certainly have earned their fair share of bad shit happening to them. Because if you dive into the history of what the Kennedys, how they sort of got into power and prominence and all that stuff, they're some pretty
shady shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, you got to think about someone. You got to go into the story about how they made JFK president. The fact that someone with mob ties essentially is like, my son will be president, and almost bullies his way into making his son president of the United States. Yeah, there's some really cool like history and all that shit there. But again, and obviously some horrible shit has happened to them, and a lot of those guys have gotten killed. you would argue probably by our government over time. But anyway, this whole shit with Sweden is, when I saw that, it was kind of like a headline, and I try not to get too much into politics because I don't really care and I don't want to read too much into it. But I scrolled and I went, oh shit, there's got to be something happening that we have no idea is happening, and we'll find out soon enough. But for a country like that to make a decision like that, because it's not like you can join NATO and nobody knows and secretly hide it. Now everyone right. knows you're in NATO. That changes how... especially in that region, which, again, Russia is a neighbor that I think the two countries removed or whatever. It's like,
right, and that you prevent, more countries from joining
NATO. So, yeah, that just tells me, like, oh, there's some shit about to pop off. Like, and then
I think, you know, like you mentioned, with our presidential election coming up this year, you almost go, based on comments that Trump has made, you know, with regards to Putin, it might indicate that he'll let Putin maybe do more than maybe people in that region want him to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see a country going like,
we better protect ourselves.
Yeah. We might need to join forces here. So
yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see this next 12 months play out, you know, I guess next 8 months, and then, you know, see.
Because if you're a NATO country, like, we have to go. Right, like if they get attacked, we have to.
Yeah,
go. Like, that's part of the agreement.
But Trump pulled funding and all that stuff from NATO last time.
I think he did. He was just like we're not flipping the bill for everybody. Some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't know. There's,
but I think the agreement is like, right, if one of them get attacked, then we all jump in. Like, that's kind of like shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, yo, we're all allies. We're part of this treaty that we said. Yeah, and this is why we're. And there's this. I don't get, I'm the wrong person to get into the semantics of this, but like, when we say we're sending aid or sending money, you saw that, like, we don't, the Ukraine, it doesn't mean actual cash. And I think that's something that gets lost in people's like thing where they're like, well, we sent billions to the Ukraine. Well, like, no, you, I don't know. It's almost like paper money that you say you're sending, and essentially you put them in debt because you're taking control of things that they own. Like, we're not nice to the Ukraine because we want them to win this war because we feel like being good neighbors. Like, we're getting something out of it, which I'm pretty sure in the case of the Ukraine, they're signing over their rights to like some of their natural resources or whatever.
Blah, blah. Is that right?
Yeah, there's like this collateral for every loan, right? Like, there's, yeah, right, so, right. Yeah, so it's like a lot of these things get lost in like the headline will be like, we're sending another $2 billion to the Ukraine, right, and people get all frustrated, like, oh, our tax dollars are going there. It's like, no, it's not actual money, and it's more like promise. It's weapons. It's stuff that you're sending.
I was going to say, it's also like the $2 billion could be going to a U.S. company that is producing weapons.
Correct. It's like, no, sending you have there. To buy your stuff to Raytheon.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, there's all these things that happen. Or you know, Northrop Grumman or whatever. Like, it's these American companies. So it's not like actual cash that we're sending there or whatever for them to do. So this is really weird. But, and then also, we're not that nice. So we're getting something in return, and I think, which is lost on some people. But, and I say that to say that those little decisions, little, quote unquote, but those things, I think, are definitely driving what's happening here with Sweden making this decision, and what inevitably I think other countries around there go, because like you said, this is everyone gearing up for, I need as much backup as I could get,
right?
You know, like, yeah, so it'll be interesting
because we're real close to the guy who's with the loose cannon.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. He was on Tucker Carlson, which is, I didn't see the whole thing, I saw snippets.
Yeah. That has to be fascinating.
It's very, man, he's such a, I want to say interesting guy, but I don't even know if that's the right word. It's fascinating. Fascinating is the word.
Putin, right?
Putin is, yeah. Because not Tucker Carlson. Yeah, yeah. Tucker Carlson is an average white guy, but Tucker Carlson is like a frat guy who's aged out, right? Like, it's nothing fascinating about him. But like Putin, like, you hear him talking, he's talking nonsensical, but I get caught up in the, why are you talking about this stuff? Like, he goes on these weird rants and like, he's just so different, you know, and maybe it's the language thing. Maybe it's a culture thing, you know, that where maybe a lot of that gets lost in translation. So
he's speaking Russian and he's had his translator.
Is, yeah, that, he speaks was, English. So he's,
on oh, he's, he's,
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, okay, he's okay. Talking English. Yeah. So okay. He's, yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. You got to watch some of it, but he's just, he clearly thinks very, very differently, and he has different thoughts and different opinions and different. And I also think he's a master manipulator, and there's a reason why he is who he is. And so he's, you know, Tucker Carlson is used to steering conversations the way he wants to steer them because he's Tucker Carlson. He sort of dominates, you know, the room, and at least in that space, right? But you're. Yeah, it was weird.
Putin that didn't work, right?
He didn't talk at all. Putin fucking took over. Just it was basically a State of the Union, right? Putin. It was like,
did you watch the State of the Union, bro?
I didn't even know the State of the Union was happening.
Okay, so
this is how disconnected from politics I am right now, man.
So it was last night. Now,
what? Aren't they usually late? Like, can Joe stay up that late? Or do they pre-record it and play it?
He did look a little unstable.
No, bro. No,
actually, man, I have to give him credit.
Yeah, he stayed up.
I thought he handled himself really well. Now, whether you agree with what he said or not, like, I'm not here to argue about that. But I will say that he handled himself really well. There were parts in the State of the Union where the Republican side was kind of yelling things at him and jeers and he would address it.
Oh wow!
Like he would address it on the spot.
You think about this space, right? Where you say people are yelling stuff at him and jeering, and so these are adults who have been tasked with running the country. And even they're like at a sporting event. Fuck you, Joe.
Dude, who's the fucking Republican chick? The green.
Oh, Marjorie.
That chick. Yo, she was decked out in fucking MAGA gear.
It's wild. Like,
yeah.
It like these are the people we have selected to run the country. And you go, you forget that they're just people like us, like our neighbors, like the people we work with, like we're not all that smart. You know what I mean? Or we're not all capable of doing something like this. Or I think really the real thing there is like, we're not that different. And, you know, like, yeah, you get people from all walks of life and who think very differently and who have very peculiar ways of like handling themselves. You forget. But when you see people yell out at a forum like this, because you're expecting it to be very like proper and very like,
right.
But you just realize like, no, you guys are just a bunch of Bills fans and Eagles fans at a game.
Like, you ever see the fucking the British Parliament?
Oh,
they're going crazy.
Going ham. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Yeah.
But no, I gotta give, you know, as much fun of Biden that we make of him, right? Yeah, I thought he handled himself really, like, I was actually impressed that he was not only able to stay awake, but he actually spoke well. He was passionate about what he was saying, and when there were sort of jeers from the crowd, like he addressed it.
Oh wow.
So I was impressed. Like, I watched the whole thing.
So maybe the carbon footprint really should have gone to the whatever pharmaceutical company kept Biden up.
No, we wasted our time. That's from Colombia.
Allegedly. Don't sue us, Joe. Well, that was my shit, man. I feel like I took 20 minutes on politics. That was way more than I ever wanted to take on.
Oh, that's good. All right, man. Mine is going out to NASA. So the Odysseus essentially land. This craft got launched to the moon on February 22nd, and it is the first time since 1972 that we've landed anything on the moon.
Damn, so we couldn't even land, dude.
That's the thing, right? So you know the whole conspiracy theory,
that
right?
We never really landed.
Like, that's a good, like, that's good evidence of maybe that shit is, maybe we never did.
Yo, because a lot of people are landing now, not people, but things like China or India or whatever.
To be fair, only five countries have successful lunar landings. The US, Russia, China, India, and Japan.
Okay.
So that's it. I mean, it's only a few of us, right? But it's for first time. So no people. It was just the vehicle. The vehicle was built by Intuitive Machines? Yep. Which is a private company. And the first lunar landing since 1972, when the Apollo 17 astronauts walked on the moon.
Yo, if you're those guys and you actually did it,
yep.
You got to be fucking fuming, bro. Are they still alive, all of them? They are, right? Like,
I don't know, maybe.
Like, if you actually landed on the moon, which is, I'm going to go ahead and say I believe them.
Yeah.
And you got to hear this shit all the time about how that didn't happen. Yo, do you start to question yourself? Like, fuck, did I? like maybe they fucked with me. You know what I mean? Like, did I land on? I don't know. Like, you have to start.
Well, you know, they're doing some experiment now where, or they're about to. I don't know if you read about this, where they're going to make, a place here that's going to be like Mars.
Oh, yeah. And they're asking for volunteers right now. That's right, yeah. Like a year, right?
Yeah.
Yo, could you do that?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, because I have no
interest. Could I do that? No. I mean, sure, I could. But I think that all depends on, like, you know, like, I don't want to miss a year of my kid's life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now, if I didn't have any kids and I was a single dude and I go like, oh, yeah, I'll fucking do it. Like,
you never got home some days dealing with your kids and went,
Mars.
I could.
Where are you? Where art thou, Mars?
Where art thou? That's the name of the podcast. Where art thou? Bro, you just get home one day and the wife and the kids are driving you nuts and you're like, fuck, today would be a good day to go to space. Oh, man.
So this thing, it's carrying like 6 experiments and some other cargo. This shit runs on solar power and it's expected to roam the moon for about a week.
And then
like again, so
collecting
so
data or whatever.
And then, yeah, and then the whole thing with the moon landing for us is part of sort of Elon's plan to go to Mars.
It's a pit stop.
It's the pit stop.
Yeah,
because we can't do it straight from here.
Right,
we have to go there first and then launch from there.
And so it eventually we'll have like
almost like a base there. You're gonna have to have something.
You're gonna have a rest,
right,
stop at a base. It's gonna be colonized. You're gonna have to colonize the moon. It's gonna be a base. It's gonna be all that stuff. Like, people will live on there, and then so you'll eventually, yeah. Which I feel like that'll happen in our lifetime.
Oh yeah,
The build will at least start in our lifetime for sure. Yeah.
Dude, but that's all. I mean, what did Elon say that he wants to be in Mars?
It's before the end of this decade.
I was gonna say it's like 2030 or some shit.
Yeah. He wants to be there pretty quick. So, yeah.
So you figure they got to just do something there fairly quickly in the next year or two.
Yeah, and he's crazy enough and ambitious enough to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I don't think Elon hasn't had anything catastrophic as far as, like, I know they've lost rockets, but they haven't lost any manned rockets yet.
No.
So I think, and I apologize if I'm wrong about that, but I don't think it's happening. So there's a level of confidence and a healthy arrogance, if you will, there, where it won't stop him from trying.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like he'll keep moving forward and pushing forward and pushing the boundaries of his stuff.
Well,
is he just that much better and surrounds himself with people that much better that he's been able to do these things?
But remember, so this launch, because it was unmanned, like it was supposed to be, right? So in case something bad happens, and then no human life loss. But you sort of perfect this and then you go, okay, now we're good to go to put humans on it.
Which I remember the one that blew up, I think Elon was kind of like, oh, I expected that one. Like, and then he explained why or whatever it was.
Which one?
There was the latest one, the one that blew up where I know they were working on the boosters to land on their own and yada, yada.
Oh,
and
like, yes.
I remember that shit fucking exploded.
That's the one that almost bankrupted them.
Yes.
Right? He had like one more to go.
He had one more to go. And he went like,
He's fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. And he goes, I kind of expected it to. And I think, you know, tweaked a thing or whatever that they knew it was. And he was right, I guess, because he landed successfully after that. But yeah.
Shout out to this man.
Is cool, man. He said it's a big deal because it does change sort of the course of humanity in terms of what we're. Yo, what if we left Mars before? I think we've talked about this shit on here before. Maybe I was high. But what if we left Mars? What if we left Mars at one point in time to come here because we had to flee the planet because we fucked it up or whatever happened or got hit by a comet or whatever happened. And then now we're just like heading back to it and trying to rehabilitate it, you know, like I don't know. It's like, we can't have been the first humans. I still stand by this whole thing. I don't think human progress has been linear.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But the whole, like, you know, the distance between Mars and the sun, you know, doesn't really make it. It's not as perfect for human life as Earth.
I think if you think about it in the sense of how we think about human life here now, and not without evolution a million years
ago. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's hard for us to fathom. Zack Snyder was just talking about this, and I never thought about it, and it was the perfect, like, well, he mentioned something that made me think of something. He was talking about his kids and how, and it was like about technology these days and how we could be looking at things today that are, say, a hard drive from 1,000 years ago and we don't know it. And the example that he used was, he was saying that his kids, he showed them a record.
Okay.
And then a record player. And he was like, how the fuck is that playing that? And a record, you know, it's just a black disc and it has these grooves, right? And when you put that needle on it, the vibrations and stuff from the needle and the grooves creates that sound.
Right.
You know, like, it's this weird way technology. If you just found that black record thing, right, without a record player, without a thing, you would go, the fuck is this black circle, like, you know, plate?
Right, and what do you do with it?
And what do you do with it? Like, you didn't know that it needed this other thing that it needed, you know, like, and so that made me think of that, like, go, oh, fuck, what if you did find a record 1,000 years from now buried underground and you looked at that and there was his name on it and there was a label and you just went, you know, people back then collected plates and fucking, you know, like, it, you didn't know because you didn't have the record player to play the thing. You're not reading data. You don't know what to stick in it. Yeah. So it's like, what is that thing that exists today that we don't know? Like, we know what a record player does, right? Because we have history of people still alive.
It's everything, man. It's a fucking, it's the floppy disk from the fucking 90s.
Yes.
A fucking CD.
A floppy's pointless tape. If you don't have a computer, which we're getting to a stage where we won't have computers right soon. Like, computers don't have floppy drives. They don't have disk drives. They don't have, you know, like, eventually the USB drive will be gone. And, you know, like, we're just progressing more and more and more where these things are going to be like, I don't know what the fuck this is, like. And so when I thought about it from that perspective, I was like, holy shit, there's so much now that we could just find that we think is just a, you know, whatever, a brick or whatever. It's just, yeah, it was fascinating. Like, he I really like him. And so listening to his conversation on Joe Rogan, that, you know, having that perspective of when he was explaining, like, man, how weird is technology that, you know, that whole thing happened. And my kids are like, well, that's crazy technology. And he's like, no, your iPod is crazy technology. Like,
yeah,
that's nuts. You know, but again, it's, somebody wouldn't even know that that's technology. It would just be a piece of plastic.
No, very, very true. No, that's interesting. Dude, speaking of fucking stars, you seen the fucking NBA All-Star Weekend?
No.
No?
Not at all. Nope.
You didn't watch, bro?
I watched the Steph Curry 3-point shootout with Sabrina Ionescu.
Yep, Ionescu, yep.
And that was it.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, I really wanted to see how she did. I thought it was cool that she shot from the men's 3-point the line too.
And she did well.
And she did amazing. Dude, she would have won the regular 3-point.
Or she would have been right there.
She tied the winning thing, right? Yeah. So, you know, shout out to her. I had a great performance against the greatest 3-point shooter of all time.
Yes.
And so I thought that was fun. I thought that was cool. The game, zero interest. Dude, there's no sense of urgency. The stakes aren't high enough.
They cracked 200 points.
Yeah, they don't play defense. The NBA All-Star game is embarrassing. It's such a waste of time.
I watch it actually for, you know, because they'll do like some incredible dunks or some incredible plays because there's no defense.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it for stuff like that, or they'll shoot from half court, or they'll, you know what I mean? Or you know, Dame will come down and shoot a fucking, you know, 40-footer.
Yeah, I want to see competitive basketball. When you put the best players in the world on the court, I'm like, I don't want to see you guys acting like you're on the playground. I don't know. Like, that, I feel like that's not the, I feel like there's a space for that, is maybe have like a pickup game, but, which is what this is, I guess. It feels that way. The stakes aren't high enough for this All-Star game. And it's funny, man. I was like, I don't know how you fix it. And then the only idea I could come up with was, you have to give people a thing to care about. And whether you incentivize them with money or seeding.
I thought it would be seeding, man. Do like in baseball.
Do like, right. Which I think baseball got rid of that now, right? The All-Star game doesn't determine World Series anymore?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, I thought they changed that too. But I like that. I thought it was awesome. Now, I could make the argument that it sucks if you're, I don't know, the Yankees and the fucking, you know, pitcher from the Angels blowing a save, say in the ninth inning at a game in July cost you home court, you know, home field advantage or whatever. But again, at least the All-Star game in baseball is the only one that still matters that people try for. The NBA, man, the way I thought about it was, I think the only way you make this entertaining is you raise the stakes or you give the people in it something they're incentivized about. And I hate to do this, but you go, you got to incentivize them with either money, and that could be money for them, money for charity, money for whatever. And so what I thought was just make it a tournament. Don't do a all-star game with East versus West. Do a 3-on-3 tournament with players get to pick their teams,
okay,
and they pit it against one another, and winning team gets, you know, whatever, bragging rights and, you know, million-dollar bonuses.
I was going to say, it's got to be a bonus. Maybe you got
to
be.
Here's the caveat. You add a WNBA all-stars to each team. So if it's 3-on-3, every team has to have one WNBA all-star. If it's the 5-on-5, then each team has to have two WNBA all-stars on the court at all times. And so what you do is, I think every player on the winning team gets $1 million. I don't know. Let's just pick a number. Those WNBA girls are way more incentivized for $1 million.
Oh my God.
Than say LeBron James.
Yeah.
But I think those guys will want that money for them too. And so I think what you do then is it raises the competitive juices, because those girls are going to be trying really hard because they're still sort of trying to prove that you should be watching them.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to build their sport.
Bro, but do they get slaughtered? Like, are they getting their shit just swatted?
No, but what you do is that they're defended probably by the other girls, right? Because you make it 5-on-5 and you make it mandatory that there has to be a certain amount of women on the court. Yeah, no.
And I get that. But when you go into like a zone defense and stuff like that.
For
man,
sure. But that's where strategy comes.
It's just going to get fucking swatted.
But I think that's what you want then, right? Is you go, if you're LeBron and you see Ionescu gets her shit pinned by fucking Anthony Davis, he sends it across the court, then now you have to start picking and rolling and doing whatever. Like, I think it adds a strategy element to it where you go, okay, now as a fan, I'm invested because I want to see how you basically work around that. And then I want to see, you know, who's going to win this. I want to see. So to me, you make it an awesome, maybe you make it a true weekend where it's Saturday and Sunday, and maybe it's a 3-on-3. And, you know, and if you make it 5-on-5, you just make it 5-on-5, first to 21. You know, it's like a pickup game. And then you make, you know, like 4 or 5 games Saturday with the championship, like maybe the last 2 rounds on Sunday. You do 2 games on Sunday or 3 games on Sunday.
That's what you're saying.
And you make it like literally like a pickup basketball weekend and, you know, like a king of the court type thing. I think that's how you sort of fix it, man.
I think as long as you tie some... Give him a reason to care about it. If you tie money to it.
And if the bitching is like, oh, these guys already have salaries, you don't want to give them bonuses or whatever, then make it like, hey, you guys pick a charity or whatever, and we give, you know, $5 million to a charity or whatever, you know, pick a number that's meaningful to a charity that maybe the team is representing. I don't know, man. I feel like that would be cool. I feel like as a fan, I don't even fuck about the dunk contest, which used to be must watch TV.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. So like, you know, as far as the All-Star game, obviously you got the guys are not playing any defense. They don't really care, but whatever. But you got like sort of the best guys on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The 3-point contest had good players, but not Steph Curry, right? Like, why isn't Steph Curry in the 3-point contest? And then in the dunk contest is even worse. You had Jaylen Brown.
He's not even a dunker.
Jamie Jaquez Jr. from the Heat. I don't even know who that is.
I didn't even heard. Yeah, I've never even heard of him.
Jacob Toppin from the Knicks, which again, I don't know who that is either.
And a YouTuber.
And Mac McClung, who is actually part of the Osceola Magic.
Yeah, he's a G League player.
He's a G League player.
He blew up on YouTube, is why he's in the G League.
Right.
And so, yeah, it doesn't matter. You got a kid who went viral who's winning it. And he's great. That's not a knock on him.
He's
as
really
a
good.
But he's amazing.
But why aren't, you know, why isn't, you know, Anthony Edwards in this?
Stephen A. Smith brought up a good point about this, and I actually agreed with him. He said LeBron James ruined the dunk contest. And
he ruined it?
He ruined the dunk contest. And I actually agree with him, and I agree with the reasons why. By LeBron James not participating in the dunk contest is people, his peers, all the other greats, sort of, it minimized, like, it's almost like the cool thing now is like, well, he's not doing the dunk contest, then why do I have to do the dunk contest? And so it made it uncool. Whereas in the era of Jordan and Kobe and Vince Carter and Dominique Wilkins and those guys, it was like prideful to do the dunk contest, right? It was like, nah, I'm going to prove I'm the best at this too.
Right.
And it, you know, that was like must watch TV.
Oh yeah.
With Jordan and Dominique Wilkins, must watch. With Kobe, Vince Carter. Yeah. Must watch TV. And then I think what happened was by LeBron not doing it, I think it minimized its importance in the eyes of the people who looked up to him, eh? But then I think everybody around him was like, well, LeBron's not doing it. You know, like, I think we're tribal, right? We're followers, and it just became this thing. And I think that was Stephen A's point, was like, I think by him not doing it, everyone else felt like, oh, I don't have to do it then either.
I wonder LeBron's why he didn't do it, bro.
He's never really given a great reason response, because LeBron's an amazing, obviously amazing athlete, amazing thing. I think he would have been phenomenal at a dunk contest. I don't know if
it would have been
him,
fun to watch, man.
It wasn't. And maybe he was someone who was so worried about his legacy all the time, where it was like, yo, no matter how many I win, it's going to be compared to Jordan. Or if I don't win it, it's going to be like, oh, see, you couldn't win a dunk contest. Or, you know, I don't know if he got into his own head. Oh, I really,
man,
don't know,
I wonder,
why.
Bro.
And I used to think that, oh, he's going to wait to his last year and wants to win it as the oldest dunk contest winner ever, too, because I could see LeBron thinking something that far ahead. Like, I feel like he's very calculated in what he does. I could see him going like, I'll do it my last year in the league and whatever. And I know he's given, I can't think of what it is right now, but I know he's given reason. None of them make sense. But it's like, I agree with like Stephen A's point, which was like, when the best player in the league at the time for this generation doesn't do it, everyone else is going to follow suit. They're going to go, why would I do it? You know, so for, you know, for whether it's an ego thing or whatever, or a cool thing or what, you know, that because I think if he does it, then Anthony Edwards does it. Then, you know, I don't know, Anthony Davis does it. I don't know, whoever.
Yeah, he's like, fucking
Kevin Durant does it. I think you get those guys to do it. Yeah.
You know, Zion, like, why isn't Zion there? Bro. Like why, like, these guys that are dunkers in the game.
It should be, know? Anthony Edwards, Zion, and who's the kid from Oklahoma City, Shane Gilchrist, whatever, Alexander,
yep. John Morant.
John Morant. Oh my God, give me John Morant, and I think Zion would put on a show in a dunk contest. Yeah. So you would hope you get to see that, but I don't know. It's unwatchable, man. I didn't tune into the game. I think I wanted to, to try to catch a little bit of it, but it's like, oh man, it's been so unwatchable lately. I just can't bring myself, you know, I think for me, it's the same reason I don't watch regular season college basketball and stuff. It's like the stakes aren't high enough. The sense of urgency isn't high enough. I'm like, if I'm going to sit down and give you 2 hours of my life, like, I need it to matter. And if it doesn't matter to you, why does it matter to me? Like, yeah. It's just, yeah.
No, I did watch the All-Star game. I did watch the 3-point slam dunk contest, and then the special 3-point contest.
I actually wanted to watch the celebrity All-Star game more than the other, really? One, but then there was no celebrities in it.
The YouTubers.
I didn't know if I was that. I don't know if that was indicative of how old I am.
Yeah, because there were celebrities.
No, I recognized like a couple of them as gamers and streamers or whatever, but the rest of them, I was like, you know, there's no real celebrities at this thing. Where you used to get like,
but those are the celebrities, right? Like, those are but I'm just saying, like, for like our kids' generation, right? Like, those are.
Did your kids watch?
They watched the 3-point and the slam dunk.
But they didn't watch the celebrity game.
No.
Where I think, like, back in the day, we would have been like, yo, Kevin Hart's in it. And you know, Chris Brown and Justin Bieber and whoever, would have been like, I won't watch that. Bieber could ball. I want to see. You know what I mean? Like, I think we would have been interested in that. Kai Sanat, I know he's massive. I recognize why he's famous. I don't think he's moving the needle to get people to go watch a celebrity All-Star game. And I could be wrong about
that. Yeah, I don't know, man.
But...
All right, yeah, man.
Your kids would be the barometer for that, man. Your boys would, if they're not tuning in.
And I don't think
people care.
Yeah. And they did not. And they did not. I will say that.
I don't know.
All right, man. What you want to get into next? What's up with this deepfake video?
Dude, this was fucking super fascinating, man. Because it's someone, and you probably deal with this a lot. When you work in corporate, especially depending on your role, you get a lot of phishing attempts, or you get a lot of, you know, obviously people trying to sucker you into things, whether it's like money, trying to get you to sign a transfer that's not legit, or just putting
information
just so they can hack you. It's very prominent. Well, obviously because of AI, this has obviously gotten a little more sophisticated, but where these people took it to another level was they got this company in Hong Kong to pay $25 million by doing a deep fake video pretending to be the CEO of the company and essentially placing a Zoom call to an employee. And they made it seem like it was the CEO, and he requested this transfer be made into an account that was obviously fake and all this stuff. And the employee did it because obviously it's like, yo, this fucking CEO just told me to go do it. And he called me through Teams or Zoom or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it worked. And wow. So $25 million. So the worker joined the call. He put aside his doubt because he's like, oh, how realistic. Oh, no, it's the CFO. Not the CEO, sorry. The CFO video called him. Yeah, yeah. And the worker was like, well, fuck, it's a video of the CFO. He's talking to me. It was someone pretending to be him, but through the AI on the computer, he was able to basically mimic the CFO and do his face and stuff. Bro, that's, I think I wrestled with making this like a carbon footprint one time because I'm like, no, that's going to be very common. Like this happened with these guys who are obviously sophisticated and all that, but how soon before you have that as an app on your phone?
Dude, they were saying, which I'm kind of concerned with, right? Which is if you they only need like a few seconds of your voice.
Your voice, yep.
Yeah, to do that, which I always worry about because my mom's getting older, you know? And you go like, yo, if she gets a phone call from somebody that's you know what I'm saying? Like that shit I'm always afraid of. But she and
you
I
almost have to do cyber training for your mom, like, yo, pick up the phone and call me at the number you
know. Well, that's what I told her. So I always tell her, I go like, listen, if anybody and we've already had this conversation a few times, where it's like, if you ever get a phone call from me asking for money, just you can say whatever you want and then hang up the phone and call me back.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, call me back at my fucking, you know, my number.
I think about this with my kids of like, we've done this in the past where it's like, if someone's going to pick you up or they say they know us, it's like a password.
Oh, don't know this word, right.
It's not fucking me.
And then, ooh, you know, that's good too,
and
bro.
You pick something like that. Like, yo, if they don't know this word, like it's not, because you're right. You can't do with this, with faking videos and stuff, man. It's going to get so much more sophisticated. And it's funny, man, you watch the video and there's tells in it that it's okay. This looks obviously, you know, faked.
I think if you're looking for it.
Correct. But this is the first iteration of it.
Yeah.
What does it look like a year from now? 2, 3, 4, you know, like, dude, how much I see videos now of like someone like Joe Rogan, obviously, who has a million hours of himself and his voice and all that stuff online. Yeah. And there's ads that he's doing that he's like, I've never done those ads. And there's companies using me.
Really?
And they're doing full-blown commercials. So you scroll through like TikTok or Instagram or whatever and your stories. There's a lot of these ads of Joe Rogan pushing some product that he's like, I've never even fucking heard of this product. And they have an ad of me sitting on my podcast table and talking about it. It's my voice. It's me. It's
like, oh, I've seen some of those shits.
Yes,
man.
It's
yeah,
not him.
That's right.
It's not him. Wow. It's AI. Yeah. And he's like, and the problem with it, which is a different fucking, we could do a whole podcast on this one,
yep.
Is he goes, I've tried to shut him down and it gets traced back to server farms in like Russia. And these people just shut down operations. They open up a whole new one. Yeah, they just keep going. He's like China and Russia and all this stuff. And it makes sense because a lot of these governments too have created these farms to sort of infiltrate American social media and all this stuff for their own sort of agenda or whatever it is that they do.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Again, fucking, I read comics and I'm 40. I don't know. Or, like, but there's all this. I got the conspiracy, the tinfoil hat shit. Like, I don't know. But I'm going to assume that warfare between countries does get a lot of it that happens online and on social media. But anyway, they, he was saying that a lot of it traces back to these places. So it's like impossible. It's like a never ending. He's like playing whack-a-mole with shutting them down.
Right.
It's like they just pop back up. And then a new place, and I have to trace it again. And it's like, we have no jurisdiction with anything in Russia or in China or wherever. It's like, and this could be also people fake VPNing, you know? So like, there's all kinds of things that lead to it, but it's only going to make this more sophisticated and harder to, I think, catch. How many?
I read some article recently, man, with some guy in an attempt to try to stop some of this, you know, this fraud,
mm-hmm.
Pretended to be like an old lady. And then he gets, you know, he gets these calls and they want to get on to the computer and he lets them get on and then he hacks into theirs.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like the Dexter for sort of cyber criminals, yep. Or whatever. It's pretty sweet. Should do that shit, man. That'd be a good, what's the name for that? It's like a, I can't do it, but yeah, it's a, kind of like a anti-hero, but no, not really. I guess you're doing bad to the bad guys. Kind of fun.
It's just kind of paper.
That's going to be what our action movies are like in the future, bro. It's going to be fucking people hacking each other. Yeah. All our wars are going to be fought online now. So that's no fun.
Dude, you seen this shit in Oklahoma?
No.
All right. I don't know what they got going on in Oklahoma, man.
Hit me with this.
Edmond, Oklahoma. There's a high school over there, Deer Creek High School.
Okay.
And they did a fundraiser. And I guess they've been doing this. This is a sort of a new story, but something that they've been doing for a while.
Okay.
So they do these. They do this fundraiser for various charities. But in these videos, they had students. So like students sitting there with like their bare feet, and they put like peanut butter and chocolate, and people coming up and licking the peanut butter and chocolate off the feet. I was like, what happened to the kissing booth? this is the fucking new kissing booth.
Spin the bottle. We're skipping right over all that. I had to take a pause because I wanted to make sure I heard what I think I said. Is they put peanut butter and chocolate on their feet.
Yep.
And then people lick their feet.
And you are a Reese's fan.
I know, man. I'm conflicted, but I don't like feet. Feet is gross. I never understood that. So one fetish, I do shame. I'm a weirdo. I get it, but the feet thing, the feet thing is weird, bro.
I'm going. What kind of chocolate? What kind of peanut butter?
Is it dark? How did they have sea salt?
How did the toes look?
I was about to get way TMI, but I'm like, nah, man, there's so much other shit I can name before feet. That's the one I never got, man. Listen, I don't like to fetish shame anybody because, again, fucking weird. But
yeah, we all got our
shit. Thing, man. But yeah, the feet thing is gross. There's nothing about it.
Yeah. Oklahoma. I don't know what y'all doing over there, but, you know, keep hope alive.
Man, what is... Yeah, bro. And then who thought this shit was a good idea?
And they've been doing this shit for like the last like 8 or 9 years, doing like crazy shit. So like these videos just surfaced.
Do you think this is OnlyFans culture?
Ooh.
Like where people
did OnlyFans begin?
It's COVID really kicked it off. Yeah. I know. OnlyFans? I don't know. Let's look that up. OnlyFans. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a OnlyFans thing. I don't know, man. I think it's also
July 2016.
Okay, so like our society has become so much more sort of open to sort of being who you are. For instance,
we need to go back to fucking hiding that, bro. We really do. Right? Remember, we used to wonder what it would be like to read people's mind, and then we got Facebook, and I was like, "Yeah, fuck that."
But you know, what's funny, man, is that like, so you know, and you're about to, but like, I have kids in high school, and the amount of like openly gay people in high school, mm-hmm. It's way. I don't even remember any openly gay people in high school. When I was in high school,
I definitely had them. But yeah,
we knew. Dude, when I was a kid, there was a guy in my neighborhood, and he was gay. Yeah. And he was gay since he was kids.
Okay,
like, this dude was just from day one. But everybody knew him. He was cool. Like,
so you knew when you guys were like how young?
Oh my god, bro, my whole life.
Okay, so you know what he had a lisp. What happened?
Like, that, well, I mean, it was his mannerisms. He hung out with the girls. You know, he hung out with the girls. He was feminine, and he hung out. But he was like, he hung out with the girls, and he was like it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's the most boomer shit I ever heard you say. He hung out with the girls. They couldn't possibly be interesting to just hang out with. unless you had something in common. Yeah, girls aren't funny, so he's like,
None of them were good hangs in real life.
That was funny as fuck. How did you know he was gay? Well, he was hanging out with girls.
No, but this dude, like, he was one of them dudes that was just like, God. Like everybody just, like, we sort of knew, but it didn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, then like as he got into like his teenage years, you could see like the sort of the flamboyancy in him and kind of the way he dressed and whatever, and you know, but I don't remember like I don't remember it being prevalent in high school. And then what I hear from my kids now is like, oh my God, like it's not just being homosexual. It's like it's the trans community. Like that shit was unheard of.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my daughter has a friend that's I was actually corrected on what to call him. Or her.
Yeah.
Let me apologize. Her. I had to call him her. And you know, like it's a weird interaction at first because you're like, okay, and I'm the okay, whatever the fuck you want me to call you.
Yeah, right.
I don't really care. But like the you know, you can't help but wonder when they're kids that age where you're like you said, because it's so prevalent, you're like, okay, how much of this is like, how much of this is like legit? This is how you feel and right. You think and you want to be respectful and sort of supportive of that. And how much of this is a phase because it's a, I don't want to call it a cool thing, but yeah, right. It's like a
fad or whatever.
A fad or a way to fit in with your peers or like, there's a word for it I'm missing, but that.
But you know what? Like whenever people say like, oh, this is a, you know, it's a fad. I go, is it? You know what I'm saying?
Or like people like, just more comfortable. You know, like the arguments would be like, no, it's just because people are more open now and because we are, there's just more people out. You go, okay, is it or is it, there's a word for it. I can't think about it, but there is a word for when sort of sexuality and gender, like identities and all that stuff become sort of part of the like social circles or societal circles or like with like peer pressure. There's a word for that. I can't remember what it is, but yeah, you can't help but wonder like how much of it is which one, because and what makes it tough is like you do want to be supportive of people who are actually,
of course,
going to, you know, like if you have whatever, if you want to be called a he or she and you may look like us of the opposite of that, like yeah, I'll be respectful of call you whatever you want, but I think what's happened is that we got ourselves into a space now where you're not allowed to question it or you're not allowed to be ignorant. And it's like, okay, well, if you're truly going through this sort of like, I guess, space in life or this thing, like, is your goal to educate me and ensure that you have a space and to be who you are? And then for people to understand where it is that you stand and why you feel how you feel, or is it your goal to shame me for not sort of acknowledging that? Because I think the goal should be education. And so we should be allowed to have these conversations of like, hey, are you, how, when did, you know, like,
yeah, like how did that happen?
But I think what's happened is you're immediately labeled as transphobic if you even bring up the like, hey man, maybe it's a phase. Maybe it's, you know, all your friends are doing that and you want to feel part of it. Like, it's okay to question that part of it, right? Like, I think, but we put ourselves into a position where nothing else in life, dude, do we go, if you question, it's like, oh, they're curious. You want to learn more. And this is the only thing where you question and you're considered sort of like a bigot or you're like unsupportive or whatever. And it's like, no, I want to ensure that this is what it is. And then I want to sort of commit to obviously being supportive and doing that. But I want to understand too, because it is something that's sort of abnormal, quote unquote, right? Like for most folks. So you go, but I think what you've done is you've put people in these closets too, like in the reverse sense. Of,
right. Where you go like, I don't get it.
I can't comment on it. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. I'm not going to comment on it. Yeah.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
So it's odd, man. Yeah. Yeah. Cause again, my daughter, 14, has a 14-year-old friend and more than one. One that just happens to be a really close friend of hers, and the sweetest kid, awesome, you know, funny, witty, stuff, and yeah, so like you know, when he first tells you like, no, it's she now, you're like, oh, okay, and
this person is actually in the process of changing.
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't know. Just wants to be identified. Got it. Got it. Yep. Okay.
And it's hilarious because it does have a sense of humor about it. So it'll, you know, be like, oh, it's actually she now. And you know me, I'm me, bro. So I'm like, when did that start? It's like, oh, like Tuesday. I'm like, all right, cool. it's like, all right, well, let me know when the expiration date is, or if this is like a permanent thing, like what I, it's like, but,
Dude, is it weird? You know, I mentioned earlier about the childhood friend, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That like sort of like knew like this dude was this way from day one.
Yeah.
But if they're not, right? If they're if they're like, I'll just use a boy as an example. If they're like, all boy, do boy shit, like,
yeah,
you know, like full boy, and then one day goes, nah, like now I'm girl.
I think it's, yeah.
Like is that, you know, I say like that I think those are the ones that leave people scratching their head where you go like, wait a minute, like,
definitely.
You didn't show any signs.
And then suddenly you come, like, we know, I don't even know we're allowed to talk about this.
Maybe not.
We might have to cut this from the pod. But I think we know someone, we don't have to use names. But
yeah.
We know someone who we knew for years was one thing and then now is not.
Yeah.
Very publicly, suddenly. And then I have so many questions.
Yeah. I think I toyed around with the idea of reaching out to see if he'll join us.
Yeah, because
it'd be a good conversation.
Absolutely, because I think to your point is this person is much older in life, is doing this now, and so I have a lot of questions. And I also, again, I think true equality comes into being able to fuck with you and ask questions that are ignorant and funny to us,
right?
But they are legit, but they're sort of immature, and you know, like. I think if you want to get to a space of true understanding and true equality and true thing, like you have to then be able to sort of make fun of the sort of, I don't want to call it the not normal of it all, but yeah, the I guess as far as societal norms go, right? The not norm of it is you have to be able to sort of play with that.
Yeah.
I think.
And do not for nothing, man. Like, and we're all big kids,
yeah.
Right? Like we're all the same people that we were for the most part. Then when we were kids and we have the same, you know, some things that make us laugh or the same curiosities or the things that we find to be weird or, you know, obviously when you go through life and your experiences help you to sort of move past some things, but in a sort of general sense, we're all still like curious kids.
Dude, I think, I forget who said it. It might have been Mr. Beast or someone on a podcast I heard once that it was like, yo, the goal in life for all of us is we want to be kids as long as we possibly can. And things like money allow you to do that. And I never thought about it from that perspective. And it was like, yeah, you get money because you want to buy the big house with all the toys in
and
it.
The toys,
and you want to buy the car and the boats and the things. And you just want to fucking have fun. And you want to get up and do whatever you want like you did when you were a kid. You go hang out with your friends, you do stuff. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's so true. And you, when you think about it from that perspective, it's like, yeah, the goal in life is to be kids as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Or live like a kid for as long as you possibly can.
Yeah. He's picking up Mr. Beast, man. I watched something of his about a day or two ago. YouTube video where him and his buddies like basically went to an abandoned city and stayed there for 7 days.
Oh, shit. Where? In the States?
I don't believe so. I didn't see where it was exactly. I don't believe it was in the States.
Okay.
But anyway, one of his close buddies is transitioning.
Oh.
And that's when I thought about it. I was just like, wow. So like Mr. Beast saw this guy as a guy. And then now he's slowly transitioning. And I always go like, you know, for again, when somebody's your friend, it's just like, it's still the same person.
Yeah. Dude.
Right.
When I was growing up, we had I had a cousin that was gay and he was older. So older, like meaning I was a kid. He was like my mom's age. Right. So he's my mom's cousin. So he would have been whatever that is my cousin. And my family was fucking ruthless to him about the jokes. I mean, ruthless, bro.
So he was openly gay.
Yeah, everybody knew. Yeah, there's no hiding it, bro. The mannerisms and the lists were wild. But they were so just insanely ruthless of him with the jokes. But it wasn't mean spirited. It was. And of course, some of it came from a homophobia, I'm sure, by some people.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I think everybody loved him.
It's all love.
Loved hanging out with him. And I think because of that, they felt okay to give him shit. And of course, this is a more ignorant time. But I don't think you would look at him and he would go, I don't think he would say, like, I felt like my family hated me. He was at everything. He was at stuff. I think not acknowledging it would have made it worse. Acknowledging, maybe not inviting him, not doing stuff. But like, you know, sitting around, and I remember being a kid and hearing people be like,
man, you suck any dicks today? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, and it would be, and it'd just be fucking with him, right? Because you wouldn't right. ask that. So, like, you wouldn't ask a guy, like, oh, you're going to go look at any, you know, like,
right,
like,
right.
It's weird. But, like, I think just the amount of times that they would just fuck with him ruthlessly because they just assume, like, this is what he's doing all day.
And I would imagine he probably has some good responses.
Oh, of course. Yeah. yeah. Because the witty is part of the game, yeah, right? He owned, yeah, yeah. So he came up with some funny shit and he owned it and stuff. And I just always think of that shit where I go, the true equality in that came with that he was a target just like everyone else was, where anyone else would walk in. If you had shown up to the family function with some chick that was a fucking train wreck,
yeah.
the next family function would be like, yo, where's that? you know, and then people would just go, ham. You know, like right, it right, was like, right. yeah, so we're going to call you out on that. You know, because like we make fun of whatever your biggest flaw is
yep.
or whatever your biggest insecurity or whatever the thing that you're just, it's most prevalent when we see you or whatever, yep. you know, whatever that is. And it just so happened that he was just so flamboyant that, you know, everyone knew and they would just fuck with him. And it came from a space of love. And I think in that scenario.
What was your name as a kid?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, pendejo, bro. Oh my God. I was just telling somebody this, bro. Like, I was pendejo so long, I thought my name was pendejo, bro. Like, after a while, I was like, shit, that must be my middle name.
Like,
oh my uncles would fucking ruthless, bro. But I go, no one could call me a name after that, like, after what the shit my uncles would call me. And again, I knew it came from a place of love. But in that, you couldn't say anything to me that I hadn't already heard, you know, like as a kid, whether it was like,
yeah, it gave you thick skin, bro.
I think I was telling someone this recently. I think my own uncles called me a fag when I was younger because I would cry a lot.
Oh yeah, bro. Like, that shit was common.
Yeah, shit was very common,
that
right?
Was common, bro. Yep.
And it was just like, I'm like, it was just a different time. But I think, I say that to say that I think in the, I guess, including me in the roast, it made you feel like, or, and then including my cousin in that, I think it made them feel like part of the family, which didn't make them feel isolated. I think people like that want to feel like they're like everybody else. And I think where we get caught up or where the problem is now is that we don't, if you ask the question, you're fucking shunned and you're shut down. And so you don't allow it to be a space or you're not allowed to make fun of it or whatever. Like the shit happened with Chappelle where he, you know, obviously he has all his little things, but it's like, yo, true equality comes in. Dave Chappelle makes fun of fucking everybody. Like, so he should be allowed to make fun of you too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I like it, man. Yo. And on that, tell them where they can find us.
Fuck. It's been a while. So let's, anywhere where you get your podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher shut down. So Amazon Music, Audible, Geo7, Ghana. Any other audio platforms where you can get podcasts. I know TuneIn and Pocket Chaser is still there, but nobody uses that. And if you do, then find us on there. And then YouTube, obviously. And I miss... Oh. At the Common Football Podcast on IG, the Common Football Podcast on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Carbon FP Pod on X/Twitter. I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, I think we should still call that shit Twitter. X is...
No, man, I gotta be X. I stopped calling it Twitter already.
Yeah?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
moved
yeah,
away from
yeah,
it?
I moved away
Twitter
from it,
sounds
bro.
Cooler. Like, I go, I'm gonna it send does. You a tweet, but if I'm gonna send you an X, this doesn't have the same ring to it. And I'm a fan of the X thing, the logo.
The logo's
thing. I love that. But saying, yo, did you see that tweet? Or, yo, did you see so-and-so's X? Eh. It doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, I hear you, but I moved off of it.
Fine.
And yo, I'm going to leave you out with this. If you've been meaning to reach out to your people, to your family, to your friends, and you have not made time, please make time. Tomorrow's not promised. And we appreciate you guys, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Peace.